7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.
Well, we're going to get into it. We're going to hear a little bit from your grandma, how much she thinks of you and her amazing respect for your abilities. And we'll talk a little DMX, a guy I knew a little bit. And it's a sad story there. But first, Adam, what do you got?
First, there's LifeLock. 60% of Americans believe that it's likely that identity theft will cause them a financial loss in this next year. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. Put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cybercriminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It's LifeLock, right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Church, we're going to mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Dr. Drew there, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. What's going on, Drew?
Yeah, buddy. I want to tell you about my experience reaching out to peers that attack on Twitter. But before I do, I want to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with substantial copays and deductibles. Planning ahead is how you prevent that. In an emergency, AirMed Care Network of highly trained crews provide air medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. And with the AirMed Care Network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for the flight. And AMCN, American Care Network membership, covers your entire household, that's everybody, for as little as $85 a year. I mean, why not have that insurance? So you can join AMCN, and secure your financial peace of mind. And as a listener to this podcast, you can get up to $50 e-gift card with a new membership. So if it's $85 a year, less $50, I mean, for goodness sakes, why wouldn't you do that? Visit AirMedCare Network. It's four words all tied together, airmedcarenetwork.com/ADS. Use offer code ADS to get that $50 e-gift card with your new membership. Join AMC. It's a good deal.
All right.
So so I'm having all these shitstorms on Twitter for things I did not say, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
It was a great example of how fake news is generated. And some of them were physicians. And so I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to talk to this. First of all, they were people that I agree with, and we would agree if they weren't reacting to the fake news. So they didn't even understand they reacted to the fake news. So my first impulse is, well, I'm going to reach out to them and kind of straighten this out collegially. Like, we're going to be colleagues, and that's what we do as physicians. We hammer shit out, and we figure out. We don't attack each other as people. We attack our positions, you know, the intellectual positions. I can't get any of them on the phone. They're scared shitless. And I think the reason is they're fearful. Here's what the spite researcher was telling me, is that when you act out on somebody, a part of your brain is activated that they can show on fMRI that is associated with acting out on objects, not animals or sentient beings. So if I break through that mechanism and become a person again, they have to confront the fact that they've hurt somebody and they're going to feel shame and guilt. Hence, they're avoidant of that shame and guilt that everybody should feel when they act out on somebody else on social media.
Yeah. There's also – I've found that when challenged, a lot of people realize that they can't substantiate their positions.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But interestingly, that doesn't seem to be their fear. Their fear is, you're going to attack me on the phone. I go, no. Let's have a relationship. Let's get things straight as colleagues. Oh, I can't see where this is collegial. What? Mm. How old are you? Are you in the same profession as me? Or what the fuck happened in my profession?
I feel like the medical profession has dropped down in my book like 20 rungs.
And you know what? Here's the – wait, hang on. Let me finish this thought. Mm. My uncle was a doctor. My dad was a doctor. I was a doctor. I thought I was doing something super important. And I'm in the basement now in terms of my appreciation of my profession. I'm really unhappy, disappointed, ashamed of some of the shit that's going on. It's really – and my humble instinct is – it has something to do with training. We're not training people the way we used to. We used to kick the shit out of people to get them into shape, like a military type system.
I'm not here to shat on your point, but a lot of these people went through the kind of training you went through because some of these people are contemporaries. And they're still, you know, for me, it was always hydroxychloroquine. It's like you can argue that you don't think it's effective.
Yes.
Or perhaps a waste of time.
Yes.
But when you started saying, I won't prescribe it, it's dangerous, then that's when I lost respect. But to
your point, that is a phenomenon of the bureaucratic takeover of medicine. So now you have government saying, we're going to fine people $100,000 if they prescribe this dangerous medicine.
I understand it, but you don't have to go in front of a camera and start talking about how dangerous it is.
Yeah. Well, that's
the government doesn't compel you to do that.
That's that gratification, again, we were talking about last show. Yeah. You're right. You're right. It sucks.
It's also insane. It's like this person is dying of a rare form of cancer. There's a medication that may help them. I don't think it's going to help them. Well, it's going to help. It may or it may not. Maybe it's a 1% chance. Can they take it? No.
We're going to fine you.
Why not?
You would talk about it.
It's dangerous. It's not dangerous. It's like aspirin. Well, they can't take it.
Yeah.
That's irresponsible and cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I'm not arguing over whether it worked or not. I'm arguing over your position on it.
Mm-hmm.
The position should have been agnostic, which is, well, you know, if it works, God bless you. I hope it does work.
Well, by the way,
in my profession, I don't think it's going to work, but give it a try.
And there's a system in place to help with that, which is if somebody uses a medicine that there are plenty of experts feel is dangerous and you do it anyway and something bad happens, there will be a lawsuit.
Right.
There will be a malpractice suit. And so what the fuck? Why does the government need to step in and say, we're going to fine you if you prescribe a medication?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. All right.
Very weird.
And also, there was a lot of – wasn't there ivermectin pushback too?
Well, that's still going.
But that's another innocuous drug?
It's a little more substantial than hydroxychloroquine, but it's still the same phenomena.
Right.
And by the way, I'm not convinced by either of them, just so we're clear. I'm not convinced that either really do much. But the data on ivermectin is better than hydroxychloroquine, and yet still the same thing goes on.
Well, I think the thought was you put the ivermectin together with the hydroxychloroquine and zinc, and you do it early. So that's kind of the
correct.
It's hard to parse out where it's like, we had a bunch of patients on respirators. It did nothing for them. Well, that's not really the claim.
Correct. And there's a whole other set of claims about fluvoxamine with ivermectin in long haulers being effective. You're not allowed to say that.
It is anecdotally.
Neither of them, by the way. I took fluvoxamine to help me.
It's anecdotally interesting that a guy like Dennis Prager has been on it prophylactically, the three we're talking about.
Yeah.
And his son's got it. You know, people in his – he's a 72-year-old man. Everyone in his house got it.
Got COVID.
He didn't, and he's been on it.
He and his wife are both taking it, and neither of them got it.
Right.
There's no data on prophylactic. Well, there was some prophylactic data. It didn't look very good, but it's worthy of further study.
Again, you live in a house where kids are getting it, and you're old, and you're not getting it. There's – sounds like something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what it sounds like.
Something.
Sounds like better than nothing.
Yeah.
And that's been my whole point.
Yeah.
If it does something, great. Maybe it does. Maybe it's a percentage thing. Maybe it decreases it by 20%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is all masks really do too, by the way.
Right. Well, they're all for the mask.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to talk to John up there, 30, sure, from Sacramento.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, John.
Big fans of both of you.
Thank you.
I just remember there was an episode of Dr. Drew Life Changers where you got to meet DMX.
Yep.
I know he just passed at 50, and I was just kind of curious if you had any kind of an interesting experience meeting him or what you thought.
Yeah, yeah. I put that interview up, I think, on my Instagram. I think it's up right now. I liked him very much, and everyone around him, I got to meet a lot of the people around him, his security guards, that kind of stuff. They all adored him. There was something about him that was a little infectious. You know, he had an aggressive side to him, and he had a criminal side to him too. But there was also a part of him that was extreme, and it's not that he was manipulative or sociopathic. He just was genuinely a good, nice guy. Now, he had bad addiction, and I talked to him a little bit about it on the show. I can't really talk about other involvement that I've had with him. But I believe when the day is done, it will have been that took him.
What was his drug of choice?
He was kind of all over the place.
My brother would tell me it was cocaine, but I'm wondering, could it be fentanyl to give you a heart attack at 50? Or, you know, I don't know.
Well, the heart attack, look, I completely discount this heart attack thing because let me say it this way. You take a whole shit ton of cocaine, you can have a heart attack for sure. That can happen. So that's one possibility. It may have been a heart attack. But a lot of the time these days when they talk about somebody overdosing on opiates, they'll leave out the part where the opiates stopped their breathing and then they had a stroke and a heart attack.
Oh.
So it's hard to know based on what's reported in the press. As always, it's very incomplete and wrong. So we don't know what happened. But I'm you know, it's a guy that struggled with a fatal illness and he had a fatal experience. So there you go. What's that, Gary?
I'm seeing
thanks, John.
He's on the record as saying that he was a crack user earlier in his life.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't think that's the whole story.
I'm not suggesting it is. I'm just
– But crack can give you heart attacks and strokes. It can. And so maybe that is the story here. I just doesn't pass the sniff test for me.
All right.
But you don't end up on a ventilator. I don't know. It's just something about it isn't right. So we'll find out more, I guess.
Let me tell you about Noon. That's N-U-U-N, the future of energy drinks, a carefully formulated blend to jumpstart your day. What makes Noon Energy different? Well, only 2 grams of sugar, 4 grams of carbs, clean ingredients, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, caffeine from organic green tea, not a lab, optimized so you feel energized, not jittery, plus high-potency B vitamins, organic ginseng for focus, and packed with electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Just drop in a fizzy tablet from convenient, easy to grab tubes. Comes in 4 delicious flavors. I always take this with me when I'm on the road, especially watermelon burst, berry blast, tropical punch, and ginger lime zig, which I enjoy the most. Am I right about Noon, Matt?
Yes, you are. To discover what Noon Energy can do for you, visit noonlife.com/Adam. That's N-U-U-N. And use code Adam for 20% off your first order.
All right. Let's see. I want to talk to Devin in Pennsylvania. He's got some sort of Amish story. Mm. Hey, Devin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, guy.
Hi, guy. So my grandparents, they're older. They're both in their 80s. My grandpa holds Amish just periodically as kind of a side gig. So they get invited.
He does what?
Wait, hold on. We couldn't hear you. Your grandpa does what?
Hall's hummus.
Hall's Amish, kind of as a side gig.
Hall's
Amish. So they get invited to a lot of Amish events.
Mm-hmm.
But they got invited. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Hauling Amish means like he puts a wagon together and pulls them on the horse kind of thing? Is that that's the only way they can get around, right?
Yes, they're all horse and buggy. But when we say Hall's Amish, they hire people to drive them in cars because they can't drive themselves.
Okay.
They need to go somewhere.
Nice technical workaround. Well, see how that works?
Yeah, Shabbos going.
Yeah, that's all it is a workaround.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're doing construction, whatever, but they got invited to an Amish wedding last year. This was middle of the summer. So as far as the first shutdown, like back in May or not May, but April, whenever the first shutdown was, it was after that. But anyway, long story short, 150 people there, mostly Amish. They had one big jug of water, whatever dispenser, one cup. Everybody drink out of the same cup.
Wow. Mm-hmm. They wipe it down carefully after each use.
Gotta wipe it down, Drew. Wipe it down.
So I thought that was interesting in how it related to fear and just different types of... Obviously, there's no white-collar Amish. They're all working outside.
Yeah, yeah.
In the dirt,
they have
animals.
Yeah, they don't have... They don't get... Their kids don't get hay fever. And they're not allergic to stuff. And Drew, remember... Wait a minute, goddammit. Three or four months ago, I was talking about this whole surface business and wiping shit down. Yep. And you were pushing back a little bit.
Yep. Because we didn't know.
Why are we pushing back against the Ace Man?
Always a mistake. Always a mistake. Inadvisable.
You were pushing back on me.
I imagine I wasn't pushing back hard, though, was I?
Not hard, but you were still kind of pushing back. I was saying, where's the surface transmission? It doesn't make sense to me. I've not heard anything about it.
Well, here's where my bias came from, and it was clearly bias, which is I was reared as a young'un, as a physician, that the majority of viral transmission is on the hands. That was something I was reared on.
Yeah.
And which is why – and Fauci was too. That's why he was saying he didn't want people wearing masks and bringing their hands to their face to adjust the mask. That will transmit the virus.
Or he was trying to save masks.
And he was trying to save masks too. I think it was both. But it's possible that he had both in mind. And I was so biased by that training that I stuck with it longer than I should. And I and it caused me to do the inadvisable, in fact, unthinkable, which was push back on the Ace Man.
Mm. Now, let's get to the hands, because that's going to be the last one to go.
I am shaking hands vigorously these days myself.
Is there took them a long time to do the no transmission from objects. Yeah. What about hands?
Same.
That's the same.
Same.
Why does Joe Biden say to wash your hands every single time he whatever's?
It's not a bad piece of advice generally for infectious diseases.
Doing push-ups is not a bad piece of advice
correct.
Either.
I agree.
How does the hands pertain to this virus?
How about the insanity of wearing masks outdoors? I mean, they do that too. That's truly wild.
Where are we with hands, washing hands as it pertains to COVID?
I neither here nor there, my opinion.
Doesn't spread that way, or
I mean, if you work in an ICU with a big viral load, I would wash your hands. But out in the world,
the general public
does not transmit that.
Washing
way.
Hands, it doesn't transmit. But dream me up some scenario where
it would.
Well, I don't know. I touch my eye.
Yeah, or like I cough in my hand and then shake your hand and then you put your hand in your mouth. All right.
Is there any of that though?
No.
Okay, so the hand washing thing. I mean, look.
It goes with outdoor masking.
But here's the whole thing. I'm not making an argument about washing hands. I'm making an argument as it pertains to COVID. Nonstop lectures about washing the hands.
Well, let me – what I've arrived at is you're not just talking about COVID. You're talking to me about bureaucracy. And the reason I'm sitting here with a blue eye is because bureaucracy would not take my antibody screen as meaningful in any way. Only thing that's meaningful is a vaccine card, period.
Right.
And that's put me in harm's way a little bit.
Well, here's also – see, I don't think people understand the how could it hurt. You know, a lot of stuff falls under the heading of how could it hurt. You know, well, how could it hurt to wipe down all the shopping baskets and wash your hands or wear rubber gloves in or wear a mask outside? How could it hurt? Well, it creates a general hysteria. That's how it can hurt.
Well, and there's another component to it, which is you're supposed to, which is sort of my mode. I took the vaccine because I'm supposed to.
Right.
That's sort of an unthoughtful robot way of going through life.
But see, here's the thing. I dropped my kids off at school today. There was a parking lot monitor, guy just standing alone in the parking lot wearing a mask.
Of course.
And it's like, well, how could it hurt? Well, I'll tell you how it hurts. Because then when I walk through the empty parking lot with my daughter going to the restaurant at the beach, she has a meltdown because I'm not wearing a mask in the open parking lot because she sees the guy wearing the mask at school. Yeah. And she could not see the guy wearing the mask at school, or she could question him and he could go, there's no supportive evidence that there's any outdoor transmission.
Yep.
That would help.
Yep.
So this how could it hurt people, fuck right off. How could it hurt? The fucking ArcLight movie theaters out of business. That's how it could hurt.
Yeah.
Because you created a hysteria.
Yeah.
That's how it could hurt.
Yes. I'm with you.
Jesus fucking
Christ. The hysteria
How can it hurt? Well, it's a huge business. It's just gone under.
Oh, the hysteria piece of this is yet unforeseen consequences. In other words, the full impact is yet unforeseen.
Right.
How we became hysterical primates, I don't know. It really is. I thought it was bad when we were just narcissistic. Now we're histrionic.
Yeah.
And interestingly, my mom was a little flavor of histrionic with the how dare you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a histrionic thing.
Mm.
People that have histrionic disorders will say, how dare you?
I got a clip of my grandma to play after you do your Oh, I got my piece. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's on me. Yeah. Chill wellness. That's what I want to talk about. Man. You know, my hands are I got a little pain in my hands, and Chill Wellness has been just the ticket for it. A few months ago, I told you about Chill Wellness CBD. I've been using the Mellow Mint Drops before bed. It is very nice. It just smooths it out, gives you a nice, even sleep. And also, there's the Aspen's Maximum Relief Salve at night. And you can roll on during the day. Number one trusted CBD brand for arthritis. Moms, dads, weekend warriors, and elite athletes use Aspen Salve. Aspen Roll-On or Sport Stick for relief from sore muscles and stiff joints from cycling, tennis, golf, yoga, whatever makes you sore, intense workouts. Physical therapists and chiropractors get great results and recommend it to their patients. Doctor formulated 100% organic hemp CBD. Go to chillwellness.com, right, Matt?
That's right. To get 15% off your first order, visit chillwellness.com/ADS. Plus, as a special bonus to our listeners, Chill Wellness will include their CBD De-Stress Essential Oil Roller, a $30 value free. Don't wait. All products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to chillwellness.com/ADS for this special offer.
I got a funny clip. It just popped in my head the other day. I was thinking about my mean and insulting grandmother.
Yes.
And there's a clip from many years ago when we were doing my TV show. And
what TV show?
We're doing
The Adam Carolla Project.
The Adam Carolla Project.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the names of the shows that have my name in them.
Yeah.
And we were sitting down, and they went to Grandma's house. She's very old. She's 93 years old. And they were interviewing her about, young Adam or just Adam. Here it is. Or maybe I was interviewing her. I guess I was.
Did you want the full one or just the short?
Just give me the long one. It'll be fun.
I by the way, got an earful from her at your wedding along the same lines.
Oh, good. Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Hi, Granny.
Hello there, honey.
You look nice. Oh, I got sweets for the sweet. Get it custom made for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Happy birthday, Grandma.
Yeah. Did you ever think about making it to 92?
I'm not the sort of person who thinks about not making it.
I was talking to one of our producers, and she said you didn't.
Meaning I'm a narcissist?
No. It's funny. Her and my mom would answer questions the same way. Like you go, did you ever think about it? I never thought about not making it.
Yeah.
Like it cuts the conversation off.
Yeah. It's a no. It's a weird,
no, it's
kind
not,
of a weird kind
it's,
of no.
It's a way to not
engage.
Like I told you, I finally said to my mom one day after I was like talking about racing cars and going to Monterey and racing cars, and she'd just sit and like kind of look at me, and I'd go, I finally said to her, do you want to know what car I'm taking to Monterey or any questions about it? She goes, I don't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
So
perfect. Same answer.
Cut it
same
off.
Same answer.
Just nip it.
Yeah.
Nip it. That wasn't egregious, but it's a way to nip.
Yeah.
It's a way to not go to, well, when I was a young girl, I didn't, but as I was older, there's a way to.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of our producers, and she said you weren't exactly confident in me as a comedian. Didn't think I was going to make a living doing this.
When did I say that?
That's word on the street. I don't want to name any names, but
I'm surprised by how many people know your name.
Yeah, I know.
I think
whole family.
Maybe it's because I don't have cable.
Yeah. Well, if you had cable, you'd really be asking for an autograph right now. You really should see my work.
I never think of Adam as a star, and I think people do, but I don't think he has big charisma or charm, but he is intelligent. Maybe he gets some of that from me.
That's the greatest... Listen, I rest my case. You need know that's all you need to know about my family. That is my dying grandmother.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, my dad, my mom, everyone got a full dose. Oh. Everyone was wired that way, but that's her. On by the way, on camera.
On the record.
That's not her drunk at night after I broke a window in her house going, fuck that guy. She's being interviewed. It's time to be nice.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. God knows what happens when the cameras and pack up.
Yeah, not talented, not
charismatic,
not whatever. But intelligent because he's related to me. At least she gave you intelligent. As long as it was part of her,
she brought it home.
Yeah, she brought it home for sure.
What else do you need to know?
Well done.
When
you were sitting there, what were you thinking? Like, oh, got it. Cut.
I got to hear that last 20 seconds.
Check the
again.
Gate.
It is so. Now, look, any hyperbole from the Ace Man?
No. Well, I knew the player, so I've never accused you of that. No. I've seen the living environments.
Made sure to specify no cable. I've been on cable for 13 years at that point. Like, nope, no cable. But by the way, it's such an exotic thing. Does anyone know anyone who had cable in 2005? I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
What is this cable you speak of? Where does it go? Yeah, there's no cable in my family because that was $14 a month. That's considered exotic. The son having two shows on cable was not... Did that motivate any of my family to purchase cable?
And she was admitting that you were prominent enough on cable that if she had cable, she would understand your body of work and why people knew your name. No thanks. No thanks.
We'll play the last one. It's one more
no
time.
Thanks. Not me.
I never think of Adam as a star, and I think people do, but I don't think he has big charisma or charm, but he is intelligent. Maybe he gets some of that from me.
No charisma or charm.
Again, completely unnecessary to add. You know, you can go, I never think of Adam as a star. I just think of him as Adam. We don't have to explain why.
Oh,
she you don't think of him as a star. He's your grandkid. You know what I mean?
She reminds me of the guy that accused you of no showmanship.
Tom Shales.
Yeah.
I lacked showmanship.
Right.
No charisma and no charm.
Is that guy still working?
I don't know. How many comedians are, you know, charming? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that, you know, Woody Allen or George Carlin were charming. You know, they're comedians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Charisma. By the way, it's also invisible things that most grandparents – graft on to their
they
grandkids.
They think they see in their kids, yes, their grandkids.
Yeah, look at him. He's charming. Yeah. He's what woman wouldn't want to date him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not yours.
No charisma. No charm. All right. It was interesting. I hadn't heard that clip in a while. When she said smart, I was like, what? And then she brought it.
She
brought it to her.
It's her, yeah. Because she's related to me.
What else do you need to know about that woman?
That pretty much sums it up.
That's it, right?
That's it, yeah.
That's her grandkid.
Tells the whole story.
You can't get it going for your grandkids. Imagine what you did with your kid.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what she did to my mom.
It's weird that your mom never... Does she complain about it?
She doesn't like...
No, and she didn't like her, but she took care of her. She didn't really...
She
doesn't complain about her the way you complain about your mom.
No way.
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
No.
I'm the king of that. Yeah, no, nobody. But my mom's not verbal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
She doesn't like
that. Right, that's true.
Talk. which I think maybe grandmother, who is chatty, probably worked that out of her pretty quick.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Because the thing about my grandmother is if you brought up anything, you know, like if you went, I don't know, grandma, my truck needs a new solenoid. She go, it's solenoid. You know what I mean? It's stifling. Yeah. So what you learn, what ends up happening.
Yeah.
You could have got nominated for Academy Award the day before. And my grandmother said, what's new? You go, not much. What's new with you?
Yeah.
Because it's a non-starter. It's not going to turn out good. It's going to get pushed back. It's going to get twisted around at some point.
Yeah.
Or you'd say, I got nominated for Academy Award. And she'd go, but it was for a short documentary, right? Like, or something like that. It's not going
to
feel good.
Take it back to Rick's husband.
So you just sort of kick it. You just sort of nip it.
Yeah.
You learn to nip.
I completely understand that.
Probably had that with your mom?
A bit.
All right. Let me tell you about Uprising Food. Over 9 in 10 people are deficient in fiber until Uprising came along. That is. It was nearly impossible to get enough fiber each day. These guys make some of the tastiest snacks. Well, I'll put it to you this way. You have to kind of do that balance between how good is that snack and how good is it for you. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Fritos taste good. They're just not good for you. Yeah. This stuff is both. It's nice. It's one of the few I've ever had that is the best in both directions. And I like the sea salt and sourdough, but the savory rye, that brought me back to my grandfather and his rye bread. They got a sampler bundle. 2 superfood cubes and 4 single serve packs of Freedom chips. And again, this is just good to bring with you on the road and that kind of stuff. 6 products and 3 flavors. Go to uprisingfood.com/ADS and get your sampler bundle. It's only $48 and you get 6 products to try. That's Uprising Food. Uprisingfood.com/ADS. First 1,000 people. Use the code ADS. We'll get a free standard shipping on that. Yes.
On your grandma though, the part I can't get my head around. It's kind of curious. I only knew her as a very elderly woman, and I've seen pictures of her like in her 50s and 60s.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't seem the attitudes and stuff are the same, but it seems like a different presentation.
Well,
you know, it's a very interesting.
To be. I don't think it's that interesting. She was an energetic, flamboyant person who would be much more aggressive in her criticism, you know, because she had more energy.
Yeah.
And now it was a slower, more measured criticism. But the thing that I always love is everyone takes it to the grave.
Yeah.
They go right to the grave with it.
Right.
Which is funny, right?
Yes.
Or weird.
But I just try to imagine who she would have been to encounter in her late middle ages, like what that interaction would have been like. I'm just so curious about that. I don't know why.
Who she would have encountered?
No. If I came upon somebody precisely like her at age 55, let's say, what that interaction would be like. I'm just curious because I felt what it was when she was 92 and it was – but at 55, it might have been entertaining. It might have been kind of
– Oh, yeah. It was fun at a party.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be her daughter.
Right.
That was
she a little
thing.
Manic-y? Was there like a – because she looks a little manic-y in the pictures you show me.
She had a drink or two. She was never an alcoholic. It was always, you know, a couple glasses of wine or something, as best as I knew. I don't know if she was. She was energetic.
I mean, look, the big hair, loud clothing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's sort of manic stuff.
Or narcissist, kind of a narcissist too. Yeah, remember where I got the smarts. By the way. you're living in 1,100 square feet in Valley Village. You have one bathroom in your house, and you've hated your job at the VA for 35 years. How smart are you? What would we call that? Shrewd? What do we call that? Street smarts? Like, how smart are you? You work at the VA, you hate your job, and you work there for 40 years. Is there some yardstick to measure that kind of intelligence? You can't extricate yourself from a shit job that you hate for 40 years. How smart are you?
Hmm.
That was her thing, was like, well, I can pronounce words. You know, yeah. I don't say hors d'oeuvre. I say hors d'oeuvre. And, right. But guess where you got to go Monday morning?
Yeah.
Back to the fucking VA.
Hmm.
So if that is smart, no thanks.
Do we know about her family of origin?
Next show, I'll get into her family of origin. Derek's been on hold for a while.
All right.
Let's talk to Derek. Derek?
Hey, guys. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Guy.
The wife is close friends with a lady who was married to a former NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
And he got CTE and went into memory care right before COVID. And then during COVID, she couldn't see him in memory care. And then he died, as Drew probably knows, once they go into memory care, even if they're physically healthy, usually within, I don't know, a year, they usually die.
Yeah, memory care.
So he died.
Yeah, that's a euphemism for severely demented, needs a locked unit, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a bad scene. I don't want to reveal what team or who, but this was a pretty bad scene. So so our friend, who is, you know, empty nest, kids are gone, she's older, doesn't seem to be moving on. It's been a long time. I mean, in my opinion, he's been gone a long time because he was sort of gone when he went into memory care.
Right. How long?
I think he died. I think it's been several months at least, probably 6 months since he actually died, and then figure a year plus since he went into memory care. She won't go into therapy. And this is not something that really a lot of people can relate to, you know, it's one thing to lose somebody, but I think she's sort of rejecting anybody wanting to talk to her about it because they don't understand. And I think there's a lot of guilt there, even though she has no reason to be guilty.
Yeah.
We're just concerned about her because she's sort of not budging from this.
How old is she?
She's mid-50s, I believe.
So, you know, the guilt
somewhere in there.
The guilt is probably a symptom of depression. So it sounds like she's drifting into depression. One of the things about dementia I've noticed is family members, particularly spouses, don't get on with the grieving until the person dies. And oftentimes they keep them alive unnecessarily, like in ridiculous circumstances, to prevent having to initiate the grieving process. So the fact that she did not grieve his loss before he died, only started after his heart actually stopped beating, tells you something about her reluctance to experience grief already. So she's somebody that's sort of grief reluctant, grief resistant. Most spouses come back at about 6 months with some improvement. I mean, to be still in, you know, very upset for 6 months is not that abnormal, but there should be some sort of getting back to living a little bit. And you're telling me that's not happening, right?
At all. And on top of that, she had been going to the facility pretty much daily during COVID, even though she couldn't go in.
Yeah.
And she sort of continued that even after death. It's sort of like she became comfortable with this shtick.
No, it's not. It's not comfortable with the shtick. It's that she's still doing anything not to experience grief, including continuing the behavior of going visiting the environment where he was, just to say connected on some level. The problem then becomes the grief is the only thing they have remaining in their connection to that individual. So they cling to the grief as just the way she clung to the facility and everything else. So this is all, you know, pathological grieving, right? And so, and she probably is depressed, as witnessed by the guilt that's coming out of nowhere. So she's got to get help. This is not going to go well. You're right. You got to help her. Somebody's got to just sit her down and go, "Hey, listen, you're not processing this. Let's get you somewhere and just take her in. I mean, just let's get her somewhere." Yeah, and a show of force is helpful if you can gather a group of people that care about her together, all go in and go, "Hey, man, let's go. Come on."
Would it be possible to go out to lunch with her?
Well, we don't actually live in the same town. Is one of the problems. We're long distance.
Does she
really have anybody locally. She has, I think, a couple of family members still where she lives.
No grandkids or kids? Sorry.
Kids. No.
No kids.
Kids, yes, but they don't live near her. They're far away.
I would connect with them, and I would connect with the friends that are in proximity, and I would just reach out and go, can you take her out to lunch?
That's right. It is these relationships that's going to make it possible to get better. So as much as you can sort of bring them together, the better off this is going to go. Hey, let me tell you about LifeLock. 60% of Americans believe it is likely that their identity theft will cause them a financial loss in the next year. That's how cognizant we are of how vulnerable we are on the internet, and yet we're not necessarily doing anything to protect ourselves. That's why it's a good thing there is LifeLock. You need to understand how cybercrime, identity theft are affecting your life. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet, and 60% of us are aware of it. In an instant, cybercriminals can harm your finances, credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock will detect a wide range of identity threats. Say your social security number is for sale on the dark web. If they detect that your information has even potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert and you will have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. Good thing there is LifeLock, right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows, May 7th and 8th, Appleton, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club. And then I'll be in Golden, Colorado. I can't wait to get to Golden, Colorado.
It's beautiful.
Anchorage as well. I mean, what a gig.
Just go to AdamCarolla.com. You're going to dig it.
And check out our Pluto TV channel, 585. What do you got, Drew?
DrDrew.com. Family pods are right at the top of the page. Check them all out. We appreciate it very much. And the streaming shows, and follow me over at TikTok if you don't mind.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.